The Bible said in Psalm 4, verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for each one that's gathered here, Lord, in the house of God today. Lord, our hearts are tendered to think, Lord, that when you were on that cross, we were on your mind. Lord, you had a church in mind. You were going to purchase a bride with that precious blood that ran down that old rugged cross. You were going to purchase our forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for doing that for us. And pray, Father, for the kids on our left and the kids on our right that are being taught the truths of the Scripture, even as we meet in the auditorium this morning. I pray, Lord, now that you'll speak to our hearts, encourage our hearts together. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, you may be seated this morning. Go with me over to 1 Samuel, chapter number 14. 1 Samuel chapter number 14. I'm going to back up and do a little bit of reading in chapter number 13 and may do more reading this morning because it's just so wonderful to see these truths here in the Word of God. I'm talking this morning about standing in awe of the victory. Has God ever given you a victory? I mean, it started when he saved you, amen. What about since then? Maybe you were up against the wall financially and the Lord came through. Or maybe you were up against the wall physically and the Lord came through. Maybe you were up against the wall emotionally. You know, a lot of people will kind of make light of people that have emotional issues. You should never do that. Our emotions are just as much a part of our body and our makeup as our finger is. Amen. And we never know what people are going through, the stress that's in this world today. And here's a man. His name is Jonathan. He's the son of Saul. I'm not sure I've talked much about Jonathan since I've been pastor here, but it's in my heart today to look at what happens here in chapter number 14. I'm not sure if I can get finished with it this morning, but I'll just start and do our best to go as far as the Lord would have us to go. The Bible said it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And the Bible said, and Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah and Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. Please don't laugh at what I'm about to say, but when I read that as I studied, it reminded me of a time in the woods years ago when there was two turkeys that were right on top of me. They weren't far away at all. And I was looking for a place to hide. And at that time, I was small enough to get down between them two big rocks. Amen. And I hid out there. And one of those turkeys paid a tremendous price for thinking that I was his girlfriend. Amen. Anyway, that's what I thought about. But here they are. They're hiding down between these rocks. And the Bible said the name of the one was Bozez and the other name of the other was Sina. And the forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Now watch this. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. How many believes God is still on the throne? And listen, the victory, the battle, listen, David said, I believe as he went over to go out into that valley with the giant, with Goliath, he said, the battle is the Lord's. Amen. And I think you and I ought to remember that. If we're walking with God, sometimes I think we kind of take it personally when maybe somebody gangs up on us or maybe circumstances gang up on us. But I really don't think we should take it real personally. A lot of what goes on in our life is because of Him that lives in us. And the battle is the Lord's. Amen. I believe that. Now, what I want to call your attention to is several things in the text, and we'll be reading more in chapter 14, and we're going to back up a little bit into chapter 13 and catch some of the message here just to see the setting. The Bible is going to teach us about Saul and his self-will and how that God rejects Saul as the leader of Israel. The Bible said Saul had entered into the priesthood, a place where the king did not have any business entering in. In verse number 11, Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, that thou camest not, I'm in chapter 13, verse 11, thou camest not within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together to Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. He said, I forced myself therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, and the word of God said, which he commanded thee. I believe we need a revival in our generation. I didn't say you. I said, I believe we need a revival of the fear of God. Being afraid to get in the wrong place, being afraid to do the wrong thing, amen? Because what it's going to cost Saul, the Bible said, would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever? Brother John, you touched on this in Sunday school, the price of getting sideways with God. God would have made him king forever. But now, the Bible said, because of what you've done, Saul, thy kingdom shall not continue. You say, preacher, that's harsh. I believe there's a warning here for us, beloved. Listen, a warning for every child of God that we need to be careful. Amen. Listen, we're talking about a great victory. That's what the message is about, standing in awe of a great victory. But to get into the message, I want you to just see a little bit about the background and the setting and why that it's going to happen the way that it's going to happen. He said, now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him out a man after his own heart. Somebody tell me the name of that man. David, that's correct. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So the first thing I'll call your attention to in that victory that we're about to see in Jonathan's life is that there was a warning. Now, I believe that God warns us not because he hates us, but because he loves us. I believe when our heart begins to drift off, when our eyes begin to drift off where they don't need to be, or when our mind begins to drift off, when our feet begin to carry us off into places where we don't need to be, I believe God will sound a warning. The Holy Spirit of God loves you and he loves me, and he wants us to be in that place that God wants us to be. The second thing I want to call your attention to in the victory is the weaponry. And the Bible said here, and I caught something here that I really hadn't gleaned before. The Bible said in verse number 19, now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. Now that's not talking about the name smith. That's talking about a person that works with iron and works with metal and makes things out of iron and metal, heats it up and tempers it. The Bible said, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. So they didn't want them to be able to make, you understand that the Philistines are enemies of the people of God. And I'm telling you, going back to the warning, beloved, there are people that don't take seriously enough the enemies of the people of God. The flesh is our enemy. The world is our enemy. The devil is our enemy. That's not an ally of the people of God. They are staunch enemies of the people of God. I believe right now in Washington, D.C., that, listen to me carefully. I'm not going to preach politics. I'm going to tell you this. They're enemies of our country. They're enemies of freedom. There's things going on in Virginia right now, beloved, that's just not right. And I'm telling you, beloved, the enemy is there. And, beloved, you and I need to cherish the freedoms that we have in Christ, but we need to cherish the freedoms that we have in America, the freedom to preach the Word of God. I personally wonder, how long is it going to be before, beloved, they come in and tell you, you cannot preach this entire council. Amen. I'm going to tell you what God's men will do. They'll keep preaching the entire council of God, the whole council. They're not going to back up because it is the truth. Here we see the weaponry. Watch this now. The Bible said there's no smith in verse 20, but all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock, the farm equipment. And yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. Now here's what I hadn't caught. So it came to pass in that day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in any hand of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But, see it right there? I hadn't caught that before. Saul's got a spear. Saul's got a sword. You remember how that Saul tried to pin David down with that spear at different times, right? Jonathan's got a spear. Jonathan's got a sword. Here's what I want to say to you this morning. Listen to me carefully. I'm talking about the weaponry now. Don't go to battle without the sword. This right here is the sword of spirit. Don't go to battle without, beloved, listen, don't go to war. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The Bible said put on the whole armor of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what the Word of God said. And here we see the weapons. Jonathan's going to go out. He has his armor bearer with him. And the Word of God said, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out unto the passage of Michmash. Now, I want to give you one more thing in the victory. Listen, I'm not talking about just one more thing. The next thing in the victory, okay? Some of you all started getting excited, and it's 11:45. You're crazy. Amen? Amen. Watch this now. If we're going to win the victory and stand in awe of the victory that God wants to give us in our life, beloved, there needs to be a willingness. I want you to see something right here that I caught as I studied this scripture. The Word of God said in verse number 1, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man that bears armor, let us, what's that next word? Go. There was a willingness. There was a willingness to go where God wanted him to go. Let me ask you a personal question this morning. Is there a willingness in your heart for you to go where God wants you to go? I believe with all of my heart we can forget about victory if we're not willing to obey the Lord. The Bible said, you know, Saul gets in trouble again. He spares the cattle. You remember later in a later chapter, and the Word of God said that obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what the Word of God said. Now watch this. There's a willingness. I'd never thought about this before or caught it before, but in verse number 2, the Word of God said Saul tarried. You've got one man that's willing to go, but another man that's staying behind. One man is going to experience a great victory. Another man is experiencing great defeat in his life, and that would be his father, Saul. If you come on down, the Bible said Saul tarried. The uttermost part, I thought about this. What got David in trouble? Was it going that got David in trouble, or was it tarrying? In the years the kings went forth to battle, the Bible said David tarried still in Jerusalem. And had he gone, went forth, had he gone to battle, then there would have been victory in David's life. Saul, he's going to tarry. If you come down here in verse number 6, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. In other words, Jonathan is telling his armor bearer, Daddy's got 600 men, but God's just as able to take me and you. Listen to me this morning. God's just as able to take, okay, Miss Eve, you and I. No, you and me. That's it. Because if she left off the you, then it would be me. God's just as able to take you and me and win this battle for the cause of Christ. The Word of God said here, I want you to see this. The next thing I want you to see is the warfare. We see the there was a warning. We see the weaponry. We see the willingness. But I want you to see the warfare. The Philistines hated the children of Israel. Watch this now. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I love this. I tell you what every pastor needs. He needs a bunch of people to say, I'm with you. That's what the Word of God said right there. That's what every one of our teenagers needs. Some of them will get it at home, Brother Thurman, and some of them won't. But every teenager needs somebody to say, I'm with you. I've got your back. I'll help you. That's what the children need. And to be honest with you, that's what a lot of sinners need. It's just somebody to be able to come alongside of them and say, I remember. I remember what it was like to be lost. I remember what all that guilt was like. I remember what it was like to be without God. And I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm not against you. I'm for you. Amen. I'm with you. Preston, that's what they need, brother. Brother Rick, and teaching them, that's what they need. Somebody know we're with you. We're with you. The Word of God is teaching us here about a warfare. The Bible said here, Jonathan's armor bearer, he said, do all that's in thine heart. I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. Watch this now. What the first thing I want to bring out to you in this warfare is faith. Jonathan is committing it to the Lord. You remember now, please, when we're in these stories like this right here, Jonathan didn't have Genesis to Revelation where he could turn over there and pray and seek God's face in the Word of God. Amen. So what Jonathan wants is some instruction. Jonathan wants some orders from headquarters. Amen. So watch what he says right here. And God doesn't hold it against him. Look at the faith. Jonathan's already said there's no restraint to the Lord. He can do it by many. He can do it by few. Watch this now. Jonathan said, we'll pass over to these men and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus to us, tarry until we come unto you, then we'll stand still in our place and we will not go up unto them. Beloved, listen to me carefully. An old preacher said this years ago, and I never have forgotten it. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Everybody know that? That's what it says. But he said this, the steps as well as the stops. In other words, there's a time to step, there's a time to stop. I believe there's scripture for that. There's a time to be still and know that I'm God. So what Jonathan is doing is committing it to the Lord's hand. He's saying, hey, if they tell us, let me get it right here. The Bible said, if they say come up, then we will go up. And he said, tarry. If they say tarry till we come to you, we'll stand still in our place and we'll not go up to them. But if they say come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. By the way, I believe the way that Jonathan asked this of the Lord, I believe it was a lot more likely, knowing that they were enemies. There's only two of them. It would have been a lot more likely for them to come down where they were. But they said, come on up. And Jonathan knew in his heart immediately, Brother Rose, God has given the victory. Because he had put it out there before God and trusted God with it. Amen. He knew that God had given the victory. And the Word of God said here, both of them in verse 11 discovered themselves into the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they have hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them. I like this. I like the way this is worded. Brother Ralph, he didn't say the Lord's delivered them into my hand. He didn't say the Lord's delivered into our hand. He said the Lord hath delivered them, the hand of Israel. Jonathan, when he was fighting for the victory, was not just representing himself, but he was representing the people of God. Dear God, if we could get a hold of that. No man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. It's important. The victory's important because it just doesn't affect you. It affects many others around you and around me. And so we see in the warfare a great faith. A great faith. And the Word of God said here in verse 13, Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And the first slaughter, look at that, the first slaughter which Jonathan, his armor bearer, made was about 20 men, within, as it were, a half acre of land, with a yoke of oxen, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was a trembling in the host, in the field. God's going to turn it on them, beloved. Listen, hey, listen, that's what Jonathan, his faith is so great, beloved, listen. He can cause the enemy to tremble. You and I cannot cause the enemy to tremble, but our God can. There was trembling in the host, in the field, among all the people, the garrison, the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked. I wonder who did that. And there was a great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah and Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. And they went on beating down one another. I'm telling you, God's still God. America might be in trouble, but it's not so much trouble that God can't handle it. Amen. The Bible said here, then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now, and see who was gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And Saul and the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. You're a little bit late, Saul. It's easy to go to the battle now. But I'm telling you, Jonathan stepped out in faith, and God used him in a mighty way. Warfare, it requires faith. Secondly, this warfare requires food. Watch what the Word of God said. And the men of Israel, in verse 24, were distressed that day. For Saul had adjured the people, saying, this is what Saul said, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. Have you got it now? The king, Saul, listen, the Word of God's already said, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. His counsel wasn't worth heaven. Say amen. But watch what the Bible said. And all they that of the land came up to the wood, and there was honey upon the ground. You remember what God promised them? He said, there's a land that floweth with milk and honey. I'm telling you, Jonathan's wore out. Watch what the Word of God said. I'm talking about food, beloved. The Word of God said, and when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped.
Glory to God, I like it when the honey drops. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people. Jonathan, what he's about to do, he's ignorant of the oath that his father had made. He knew nothing about that oath. And he's weak. Watch what the Bible said. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore, he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb. Now, you may not like honey, but I'm going to tell you, I like it. Amen. Watch what the Word of God said. The Bible said he put the end of his rod that was in his hand, he dipped it in the honey, and he put his hand to his mouth. And the Word of God said his eyes were enlightened. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, you and I can get to a place in our Christian experience where we need our eyes enlightened. But can I tell you, beloved, listen, the Word of God said is sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. I believe that what Jonathan needed right here was a little bit of food. In the warfare, beloved, you're going to have some food. Then answered one of the people, said, thy father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. You ever been there? Then said Jonathan, my father had troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. He said, how much more if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? What Jonathan is saying, beloved, listen, we take a little food, the victory. Brother John, you talked about it a while ago, said I'd rather be over here than the blessing, where there's a little blessing and there's a lot of blessing. The victory can be even greater if we take a little food along the way. Take the Word of God. We find down through here that the people flew upon the spoil. They actually listened to Jonathan. They took the sheep, but they did something they weren't really supposed to do. The Bible said in verse 32, and the people did eat the sheep and the oxen and the calves. But the Bible said, with the blood. They weren't supposed to do that. They were supposed to cook it. It was supposed to be roasted. They were not supposed to take the blood. The Word of God said, and they told Saul, saying, behold, the people sin against the Lord. They eat with blood. And he said, ye have transgressed. Roll a stone unto me this day. And he built there an altar, the Word of God said. And the Bible said, and the people brought every man his ox and with him that night and slew them there. Saul built an altar unto the Lord, and the same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. I'll give you one more thing real quickly under this warfare. Not only do we need faith, and not only do we need food. I want you to listen to me carefully right here. There's a reason that God put this in the Bible. But there's something else that we need. Come over with me, if you will, please, to chapter number 14 and verse number... Let's go down here and let's look at verse number 39. For as the Lord liveth which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. Hey, wait a minute. You know good and well there was a lot of men that knew about Jonathan taking that honey. But not one man, Brother Preston, spoke up. You say, preacher, what's going on here? I tell you what's going on here. Jonathan had fellowship with a bunch of men that had his back. Watch this now. Then said he unto all Israel, be on one side. So they put Israel over there. And I and Jonathan, my son, will be on the other side. And the people said unto Saul, do what seemeth good unto thee. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, give a perfect lot. He's asking God to reveal it. And Saul and Jonathan were taken. But the people escaped. And Saul said, cast lots between me and Jonathan my son. And Jonathan was taken. Watch this. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. Nobody told on Jonathan, but Jonathan's fixing to tell his daddy what he did. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste the little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, he's not trying to wiggle out of it. He said, lo, because of the oath that you've made, Dad, I must die. I want you to see this. And Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. And the people said, I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Fellowship is important. Look what the people said. The people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid. As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground. You know what's happened? There's a bunch of men stood up and said, if you're going to get to him, you're going to have to come through us. There's so much as saying, have you lost your mind, Saul? This is the man that God used to give us this great victory this day. Watch what he said. God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan that he died not. I like it. It's no wonder. No wonder that God said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and even so much the more as you see the day approaching. God knew that as we approached the coming of Christ, the warfare was going to be more intense. And beloved, it was going to be harder and harder to gain that victory in our lives, and that we need one another. That's what God is saying. The fellowship in the warfare. Then I want you to see this today, and I'm finished. We're talking about the victory, standing in awe of the victory. Does it not speak to our hearts this morning that one man was willing to seek God's face, take his armor bearer and go up there? In the first battle, it takes place on about a half acre. That's probably about the size of this auditorium. I'd guess that's about a half acre. I'm just guessing. 20 men. They took out 20 men. A great victory. They weren't finished there because God made them tremble. God made the earthquake. Jonathan didn't have to do a whole lot after that. They're killing one another. He said, preacher, you really believe that stuff? I really believe it. I really believe it. He said, preacher, that'd take a miracle. Well, we serve a miracle-working God, don't we? For me to get saved took a miracle. I'm going to heaven. It took a miracle. I want you to see the winner. The Bible said here, Jonathan rescued, the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. Beloved, they're not finished with the Philistines. No wonder that giant of Gath, no wonder Goliath in just a few chapters. You reckon he's heard about these battles right here? He's pretty ill, ain't he? Send me a man. No wonder, beloved, listen to me carefully. No wonder the Philistines weren't real anxious to run down off of that mountain. God had put a little check in them, hadn't he? Amen. God was whispering to their heart, remember Jonathan? Ain't more than one over there now in his armor bearer. But here comes God again with David. What I want to leave you with this morning is God don't need a multitude to win. You really will never give an account for the multitude. But Joe Redman, you will give an account for Joe Redman. Amen. Pastor will give an account for Pastor. Brother Larry will give an account for Brother Larry. And God wants us to use us that there might be a victory. I believe the greatest victory that we can ever experience as the children of God is seeing someone trust Jesus as their Savior. Brother Rose told me a while ago that he and his wife won't be here tonight. They're going to go over to Good Shepherd to see one of his grandsons baptized. I say hallelujah. 11 or 12 years old, Brother Thurman, not only is a soul saved, but a life is saved from the destruction that this world has in store for him. Beloved, God wants us to have the victory. God wants us to be able to stand in awe and sin not. Stand in awe of the victory that he wants to provide in our lives. Let's bow for prayer.